positive test, the number of cases you detect, is not the sum total of the infections that you have throughout the community. And so if you test 25,000 people and your positivity rate remains stable, then you can double the testing capacity. You'll probably double the tests. Not really anything that would be unexpected. It was pretty much a consistent increase, but really jumped here in the last week to 10 days, which is a good thing. When you do that, you are going to find more cases because the detected cases are just a small fraction of the total amount of infections.
Phil Collins, 608 on your Monday morning, back here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Last week, I had John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band. I had Toto. Today, it's going to be Phil Collins on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. And, of course, so before that, you heard from the great governor of the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Everybody freaking out about the numbers in Florida. Florida's going up. What are they going to do? And you heard Ron basically talk about, well, testing goes up, numbers go up. As far as I know, there are no plans, as far as I know, in Palm Beach County to do anything different in the state of Florida. Yes, in Miami and Dade County, they did make some changes last week. But it seems like Ron DeSantis is moving forward, despite the fact that numbers are up. In fact, if you read publications this morning and you buy into all this nonsense, the only two states, only two, where numbers went down last week were Connecticut. Congratulations to that governor. And Rhode Island. That's it. Connecticut, Rhode Island, two states down, 36 states going up a lot. And in fact, out in California, their governor, our good friend Gavin Newsom, he has decided to shut down all the bars in Los Angeles and six other California counties. This just 2 weeks after they reopened all the bars in Los Angeles. So there are some governors going backwards, and it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me, despite all the numbers we're hearing and Cuomo every day telling us how great things are, if these two morons here in New York don't do the same thing before we get to phase four. It wouldn't shock me. Anyway, good morning, Bernard. How are
you? Sydney, I could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. A short week for the two of us.
Yes.
Fourth of July holiday on Friday.
It's still 4 days. Short week would be like we're done on
Tuesday.
Yeah,
but you know what? I actually enjoy doing this with you.
So do I.
This is great. This is fun. We get to vent. Some monumental events happening, things happening. The election 4 months away, essentially. And strife. I mean, we're in the middle of it. Strife all over the city has fallen apart. And here we are commenting and venting about it.
Every day.
I mean, it's very important.
We are right in the epicenter of hell, basically, between the pandemic, what's going on. The rioting, of course, was weeks ago, but now the aftermath of the rioting, the police, these poor bastards every day that get up and try to protect, and they do protect, everybody inside this state and inside this country, and they are just met day after day after day with violence. It's despicable, and it's bad enough when it comes from the animals on the streets, and there's plenty of them, too many of them. It's bad enough when it comes from them, but again, we've been over this a billion times, when the local politicians, whether it's a Bill de Blasio or a Corey Johnson, any one of these morons, they don't back these guys either. Shootings up big time last week in the city. Saturday night into Sunday morning, we experienced 11 shootings in 12 hours. 63 shootings last week. That was up from 26 shootings just a year ago. 85 victims. Now, the good news is only 6 murders compared to 9 murders a year ago. But the shootings on the street has really become a huge and very scary issue.
It has. It's still not at Chicago levels. But and Chicago, by the way, when you compare the numbers, absolute numbers, we have a lot larger population than the city of Chicago. So we're not there yet.
But we're getting there.
But we're getting there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the percentage-wise.
We are aspiring to get to Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that great? And, of course, I mean, there's so many incidents. You had that standoff with police in Harlem over the weekend where they threw bottles and everything. The cops actually backed off. Now, listen, some scared citizen in Harlem actually phoned the police and said, listen, man, there's some shootings going on, probably more than one call. Can you please come and help us? Please, yeah. We have some shootings. So the cops show up, dutifully show. They still show up after a call, you know, despite what's going on, to help the people in that in the Harlem neighborhood, the black people in the Harlem neighborhood. And what are they rewarded with? Bottles and bricks and whatever the hell it is. And they end up backing away.
Yeah, they left. No, they left. And they're going to do more and more of that. Look, a bunch of guys now are filing for retirement. I mean, cops, I don't blame them. They don't want to do it. Whether you want to defund the police like some of these idiots want to do, some want to just abolish the police altogether, like in the state of Minnesota. It has just become an impossible job to be a cop in this city, where, by the way, we need more cops, not less cops.
I mean, you would think it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There was a piece in the paper over the weekend where Rudy Giuliani gave an interview to the New York Post and said this is the type of situation that may open the doors for the next mayor to be a Republican. It was like this under David Dinkins when I got elected. Speaking of Mayor Giuliani, this is what he said, and he mentioned, of course, our owner, Mr. Kasmatidis, and the name Curtis Sliwa was bandied about in the article as well. But, yeah, those types of things will lead, maybe, hopefully, to some sort of awakening. I say that all the time. I know you're right to maybe roll your eyes if you do. Yeah. But let me just say also about this. This is lowlife, Corey Johnson, who runs the city council.
Who, by the way, I called a lowlife months and months ago. I distinctly remember Bo Deedle sitting here a couple of months ago saying, hey, that guy's not a bad guy. That guy's a very, very bad guy. And it turns out he's a very, very bad guy.
In fact, the city budget, whatever the bill, I mean, the deadline is tomorrow night at midnight. He still wants to cut $1 billion from the police after voting in 2015 to expand the budget for the NYPD. He has his security detail includes 8 NYPD detectives.
Of course it does. And listen, you know my wife Danielle was for a long time overseeing. She's been furloughed, but overseeing 5 guys in Bill de Blasio security detail that suing him. And Danielle, of course, was in charge of that case. So all of these guys have massive security details. They want to slash cops. They don't want cops, less and less cops. But yet, for their own well-being, they are surrounded by cops every day. Not a good weekend again for your guy, and my guy too, President Trump. Obviously, the retweet of the white power thing, which Tim Scott took him to task for, no good. I'm not sure how we defend that. I'm sure you're going to find a way now, so I can't wait to hear it. But listen, it has not been a couple of good months. It's been a couple of terrible months. And I know we're talking about law and order, restoring the economy. He's the guy. But it just seems like right now, the longer Joe Biden stays in the basement and Donald Trump doesn't, it's actually bad for President Trump.
Right. And you just look at what has happened over the past 4 months. I mean, it's been to say it's been transformative is an understatement. But on the other hand, 4 months is an eternity, apparently, in politics, because we have another 4 months to go. And hiding Biden in the basement, the sleepy Joe, I mean, you just can't do that until the election. You really can't, not in any substantive way. So, I mean, listen, the president is probably now, and according to Las Vegas, he is the underdog. But we still have 4 months to go.
No, we do.
As far as that a retweet goes,
yeah.
Remember Jake Tapper said a retweet doesn't mean an endorsement?
It doesn't matter.
Now it doesn't matter. But listen, let me just say
this. It didn't matter then either. I disagree with Jake Tapper back then,
too.
Well,
you retweeted a Scaramucci thing, which you said you told me you didn't agree with.
Yeah, I didn't, but he's my friend.
All right, so either
but I'm not the president of the United States.
All right, but here's my question.
Yeah.
How long was that videotape that he retweeted?
How long was the whole tape?
Yeah.
I have no idea. 10 seconds?
There you go.
10 seconds?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking
you.
No,
I have no idea.
So let's say it was 3 minutes long.
Okay.
Do you think the president watched the full 3 minutes?
Yeah,
I don't know how long it was. It might have been 10 seconds.
But that's even worse. You can't make that an argument. He didn't watch the whole thing, so it's okay to retweet something that says white power?
I think it makes it better if he didn't know white power was actually in the video.
No, it doesn't.
And if he knew white power was in the video and he retweeted it, I think that would be worse.
Well, he didn't try to make the argument that he didn't. He just took the thing down and deleted it, which was, he should have said if that was the, and it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter because you can't just retweet stuff if you're the president. Your responsibility is to watch what you're retweeting so it doesn't go through this.
Right,
so but you can't use that as a legitimate excuse.
Sure, I can. Sure, absolutely.
No,
absolutely. Yeah, he saw something that was pro-Trump, and he saw 3 minutes, and he just it was the villages. I mean, for God's sakes. I mean, what do you think these old people are going to be doing? So he retweeted. It's possible. You asked me to mount a defense. I'm mounting. Okay. I don't know. I don't even know how long the video was.
You do realize that ignorance is not a defense ever. I'm talking as a lawyer. Ignorance is not a defense. So if he didn't know because you didn't look at it, that's still bad on him. He's still guilty.
You're talking about in a court of law.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
No, we're
here.
Not. No. We're not talking about a court of law. We're talking about anybody retweeting anything that you're scrolling through Twitter and you retweet it.
Okay.
That's my defense. They claim, and they did make a statement, they said that he didn't hear the white power comments.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know how long it is. Either way,
yeah.
I'm telling you, you got to stop watching fake news. You got to stop watching it because the difference between electing Democrats in November and electing a Republican, I don't care if it's Trump, Ted Cruz, I don't care if they dump Mike Pence and put Tim Scott on and as vice president. I don't care if it's Jeb Bush. The difference is the difference between this country falling apart and caving into these crazies on the street right now. We're in the throes of absolute madness. That's the difference.
Those are two different arguments. I agree with you 100%. You cannot vote Democrat.
So to follow the fake news narrative.
Well, it's not fake news. He did retweet it.
The cue is to obsess over something like that. That's what they're cueing you to do. And if you do that, we're going to lose.
But why can't you not do that? Still want President Trump to win, but when he does something as stupid as that, and it was very stupid either way, you got to criticize the guy. You're not allowed to do that? You're not allowed.
You're allowed to, but if you want to obsess on it, go right ahead. Then of course, we will lose. But if you want to obsess over the important things, the substantive things, I think we'll win, and we should win, because this country, the stakes are too high. Stakes are too high to be obsessing over some stupid tweet that we're going to forget about in 5 days, as have we forgotten about 1,000 tweets over the past 3.5 years. The stakes are way too high for that.
All right, fair enough. Now, the New England Patriots, of course, lost Tom Brady. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but on a much lighter note, they've got a former MVP quarterback, a guy that played and started in Super Bowl 50, now up in New England. So Jet fans and Buffalo Bills fans, don't count the Patriots out just yet. Bill Belichick seems to have a pretty good quarterback up in New England. And Rich Lowry, he's going to stop by today. Plus, coming up next, the debut of You Finish the Lyrics. I guess we're going to play a very, very popular song. And are we going to play some of the song or just read the lyric? How's that going to work, Minnie? Do you know?
I have the song queued up here with, it'll stop where the lyric you need to finish.
Okay. So it's finishing a sentence for a very popular song. Minnie will play the music, and then the onus is on you guys out there to finish the lyric. It's fun. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222.
You got to call in right now.
Right now.
Because we're doing it next segment.
It's coming up next with Bernard, 1-800-848-9222. Your chance at prizes, and finish the lyric right here on Bernie and Sid. Welcome back.
Thank you for letting me be myself. Okay.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very exciting. If you can finish, we have a contest going on right now. If you can finish the lyric of a song, you get to win a 4-pack of tickets to Rock and Roll Memories on April 17th, 2021 at Westchester County Center, including Peter Noon, Herman's Hermits, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, Jace Eagles, Togan, and Bob Miranda, The Happenings. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com. For even more chances, be sure to play to tune into WABC and play this Saturday during our 77 WABC and Tunnel to Towers Foundation All-American Weekend. It's going to be a big deal right here on WABC. Rudy Giuliani interviews families of our 9/11 survivor, the heroes who died, their survivors. Rudy Giuliani and all these great artists this coming Saturday, July 4th. Now, this is the big contest right now. We're going to take, We will take Pat in Staten Island. Pat, you're on the Bernie and Sid show. This is the Finish the Lyric contest. Good morning to you, Pat.
Hi, good morning, guys.
How the hell are you, Pat? Is everything all right? TGIM, are you working? What are you doing?
Yeah, doing all right. Well, I worked the whole weekend, so it's Monday and doesn't feel like it.
No, it stinks if you work the whole weekend. What do you do now over the weekend? What kind of job do you have that you work on a Saturday and a Sunday in the summertime?
I work for the electric company.
All right. Well, that's a good. Any job is a good job these days. All right, Pat, are you ready to play Finish the Lyric here on 77 WABC?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Here we go. Let's play the song first, and we'll see if Pat can finish the lyric.
In the day we sweat out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we ride the mansions of glory and suicide machines. Sprung from cages on Highway 9 from
So there you have it, Jay. You tell me, finish the lyric right there.
You know what? Springsteen, and I'm not a big Springsteen fan, but...
Oh my God.
Oh, God.
Come on. Wheel fuel injected and what? Come on.
Oh, man.
It's Born to
That's
Run.
It. If you don't know the fuel injected part, Sid gave you half the answer.
I did.
Sorry, Pat. It is, as Sid pointed out, fuel injected and what?
Wheel fuel injected and stepping out over the line. Oh, come on.
Play it, Meanie. Play it.
Born to Run. At night we ride the mansions of glory and suicide machines. Sprung from cages on Highway 9 from wheel fuel injected and stepping out over the line.
There's your answer right there. Stepping out over the line.
Well, listen, Pat, I would say good effort, but it really wasn't looking at it. I'm sorry you had to work over the weekend, but thanks for playing Finish the Lyric here on 77 WABC. We appreciate that. Look, we're going to do it again tomorrow at this time.
We are?
Finish the Lyric, yeah. You're going to win, again, a pair of tickets to Rock and Roll Memories on April 17th in Westchester County. Listen, all you have to do is go to Ticketmaster.com right now for tickets there. And again, this Saturday, July 4th, we partner up, does 77 WABC, with Tunnel to Towers Foundation for our All-American Weekend. Peter Noon, Herman's Hermits, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, and a lot more artists. Rudy Giuliani interviews the survivors of our first responder heroes on 77 WABC. We have a lot more coming up. Rich Lowry next hour. We're all over this, the rise in shootings here in New York City. And many, many other things, folks. The chaos and anarchy continues all over the country. I hate to be so down here on this gorgeous Monday in the summertime, but that's the way it is. That's reality. And we have an election coming up in 4 months, so it's important stuff. On the Bernie and Sid Show.
Genesis, No Reply At All. What a band this was. Huh? Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, Mike Rutherford. My God. Phil Collins, that's our guy today. We did John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band last week, Toto last week. So we'll do some Phil Collins, his solo work, of course, and this great group, Genesis, at 6:40 on your Monday morning, a short work week. Bernie and I will work through Thursday. And after Thursday's show, we'll be out until Monday the 13th.
Bye-bye.
With zero remorse, zero apologies. We've been here for forever. And these have been extra long days. And, you know, now it's a little more, not even close to being normal, not even close, but a little closer. But month after month, day after day, really, month after month, it was me being the only person on the downtown one train platform. You talk about eerie and scary and outside of criminals and homeless, and it was a brutal couple of months. And then, of course, we graduated from the pandemic to the race riots, which are still going on. You know, what's going on down there by City Hall, I know we had the Occupy Wall Street thing years ago when I was down in Boca, Bernie, but I can't believe that we're just allowing this, these people to live there, sleep there day in and day out with this ridiculous cause. I just can't believe it. When I look at the videos on New York One and our friend Shannon Ferry doing interviews, it really makes me angry, really angry.
It's just, in other words, anarchy is what we're experiencing. You have that weirdo in Washington Square Park walking around naked yesterday. There was a Black Lives Matter protest going on the outskirts. It's a wonder they didn't just kick his ass. But you have these, these City Hall protesters squatting in the park, a la Seattle, and they want to defund the police by $1 billion, as you point out. And, of course, I mentioned earlier the standoff with the police and the people in Harlem over the weekend where the police backed off. They responded to a call by some very frightened citizens in Harlem, presumably black, and they wanted help, and they responded in good faith. And now they backed off because they were told to back off. And I bet you those innocent civilians, those citizens that call the police, are even more scared now.
No, I'm sure they are. In fact, I got a text from Bo Dietl last night, maybe even Saturday night. He was so angry. These peaceful protests, which there's really no such thing anymore as a peaceful protest, because even if the folks for that particular protest don't throw a bottle or punch somebody across the face, the message is so hateful. The message is so nasty.
It's so ignorant. It's stupid.
It's stupid and nasty. Yeah. So even if that particular protest doesn't erupt into violence, the message that they're sending, especially these white people in Brooklyn, is go out and do something bad. So there's really no such thing anymore as a peaceful protest, especially with what's going on these days. And for our government officials to continue to encourage people to go out and do it, whether it's Cuomo or de Blasio, that's why I know you got in front of you. But Michael Goodwin from the New York Post, one of the great columnists across the country, he really kicks Bill de Blasio's ass today. Takes him to task in a big way.
Actually, it was yesterday, but it was an incredible column talking about how it was entitled "The Putz Who Ruined New York," and he said it all. I mean, you got to read the column. That's all there is to it. He's talking about all the anarchy, the chaos, the shootings, and he writes this: instead, the Putz went to Brooklyn for a photo op as he grabbed a brush to help paint "Black Lives Matter" on the street. So just symbolic nonsense. He promised to paint the same words on Fifth Avenue outside Trump Tower to antagonize the president from whom he seeks a bailout. No, it is bad. Hey, you know, there was, I know one of your favorites, this rapper named Huey.
Huey?
Yeah, you know, he's got the big hit, the Pop, Lock, and Drop It.
Yeah, I don't know who the guy is, don't know that song, but he clearly is one of my favorites, yes.
No doubt. Well,
I did like Huey Lewis on the news, not the same guy though, right?
No, that guy's dead.
He's dead?
By the way, so is Huey, this one.
Huey Lewis isn't dead, but this guy may be dead.
This guy here is definitely dead. He was 32, he was shot and killed over the weekend in St. Louis. Now, he had a buddy with him. His buddy was shot as well. You know where his buddy went?
Do I know?
After his buddy got shot Huey was lying dead in the street.
Let me guess. He ran to the police headquarters.
Yes, exactly.
Son of a gun.
He ran to the police headquarters. Can you believe this?
No.
Defund the who? Mm-hmm. The people that he ran to for help because he got shot in St. Louis. And by the way, same type of carnage in Chicago over the weekend. Oh, we had it right here in New York, as you point out. And all of this stuff is going on. Now, look, our boss, John Catsimatidis, actually had the chief of police, Terrence Monaghan. And what this guy, I'll get into what he did in a minute, but he talked about the crime in this city. Play Terrence Monaghan 1 on the rise in violence right now.
Listen, this is a tough time. Where we're going for these last 3 weeks have been really bad. For the month of June, we haven't seen numbers of shootings. And this is, you know, other crimes are down, but the violence, the shootings are up. We haven't seen this since 1996, this many. And there's a lot of different reasons for it. Starting off with bail reform, putting people out on the streets, moving to COVID, releasing everyone from Rikers, going right into the George Floyd protests.
So there you have it. It started again, and we talked about it almost to the point of tedium, the no cash bail thing. But this is the end result. This, and with the COVID, as you mentioned, releasing all the Rikers Island inmates who went on to commit 2, 3, 4 more crimes and keep getting released. Now, Terrence Monaghan, on the other hand, he talked about the animosity towards the cops, and I have something to say about that. This, again, from our boss's show, John Katzimatidis, Katz's Roundtable on Sunday mornings, speaking with NYPD Chief Terrence Monahan. Take a listen.
You know, the animosity towards police has just been absolutely unbelievable. And cops are, you know, a little confused right now on what the communities want them to do, how they want their neighborhoods policed. If you listen to the city council, they want less policing. They want to defund the police. But as I look out there right now, with the violence going on, it's not a good sign. And we need some clarity from the city council and from the communities we serve exactly how they want to be policed.
Yeah, well, you want some clarity from the city council?
Yeah, good
give me
luck.
A break.
Corey Johnson is public enemy number one. Now, well, he's not number one. Cuomo, Bill de Blasio, Corey Johnson, for me, for Sid Rosenberg, all of them, public enemy number
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. As we mentioned earlier, Corey Johnson wants to cut, and the deadline for the New York City budget is tomorrow night at midnight. He wants to cut a bit. He wants to give these animals, these flea bags in City Hall Park, what they want.
Well, what happens if, when tomorrow night comes, midnight Tuesday into Wednesday, and they don't get the $1 billion defund that they want, what do these people in City Hall do? Do they start rioting or doing violent? What happens?
I would imagine they'd have to back up their bluster with some sort of actions.
So we could be facing another really ugly couple of nights and mornings coming up midway through this week before we celebrate Independence Day in New York.
We could. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we're in the throes of madness, but we're also in the throes of cowardice. Because all of these people, including Corey Johnson, Bill de Blasio, who really don't want to cut the police budget by $1 billion, Corey Johnson voted in 2015 to expand the police budget. De Blasio's already said, no, I can't do $1 billion. What are you, crazy? But they are cowards. They're total cowards. And let me just point this out about Terrence Monahan, NYPD chief of police. There was a piece, an NYPD detective, talking about the 49%. A 49% spike of retirements in the NYPD.
Right.
One detective who's retiring, he wrote a piece, anonymous piece in the New York Post, and he talked about a million things as to why they're retiring the DA's office. The DA's don't back the cops. A bunch of DA's wrote a nasty letter saying that they can't work with the police. DA's from the Bronx. He went on and on, but one of the things he wrote was this, quote, "I think the kneeling was the white flag." He's talking about the cops. Now, this was Terrence Monahan knelt with the protesters.
I remember well.
That Monday.
Yeah.
The riots occurred that Monday night. Yeah. How did that kneeling work out for
disgusting.
You, Terrence?
Right.
So this detective writes, "I think the kneeling was the white flag. The kneeling eliminated what little hopes the cops had. I think the kneeling sacrificed the cops. What little expectation of authority the cops felt they had, they lost it right there." Well, and it was Terrence Monahan and a couple of others who followed suit.
He's also the same guy, Terrence Monahan, not Dermache, Terrence Monahan, that allowed the health chief, Dr. Barbeau, to say those things a couple of months ago. And it was Terrence Monahan who decided that her apology was good enough. This is way before Bill de Blasio.
Exactly.
He was the same guy, Terrence Monahan.
Caved completely, once again, acquiescing, caving to the mob. It never works. The day he knelt, was the worst nights of riots this city has seen since maybe before that.
I would say that Terrence Monahan and the cops kneeling that night is analogous to a white person in the street kissing or washing the feet of some Black Lives Matter person who makes them do it. I mean, if you're a cop and you're Terrence Monahan, you're in charge. I don't care what the situation is, you're in charge. You cannot allow anybody ever, any place, any time to mess with your integrity. So it's analogous to a person walking down the street and kissing some black person's foot.
Again, as the founder and creator of Black Entertainment Television said, Black people are laughing at you for this.
Of course,
these types of behavior. Now, one more thing: the 46th precinct commander in the Bronx, and Curtis Lewa broke this on the on WABC last week. He did retire. He walked out. They had a big ceremony for him. They had helicopters, everything. In fact, this is the NYPD officers chanting as he left the precinct. Richard Brea, 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 Brea. Now, of course, his issue is, I don't know how to enforce, I don't know how to stop crime. They won't give me any guidance.
Nope.
They have this program. It's an old program, very effective. It's called CompStat, where the police are active. They're proactive. I mean, it involves using the anti-crime unit, but it targets, high crime areas. So the police actually go in and they stop crimes in progress, or they prevent the crimes. Now, what you have to do is you don't do any of that. You just react. They call. They say, hey, my friend was just shot, because they still call, believe it or not. And then the cops show up and say, okay, they show up with a pen and a pad. And the detective says, well, what did he look like? And that's, in other words, that's not preventing crime.
No.
So he walked out, and he did say this, NYPD Precinct Commander Richard Brea. This is the 46th precinct in the Fordham area that was hard hit by the riots. Here's Richard Brea.
To all the police officers and detectives, I know that we are going through some turbulent times. But please know that most people in this community support and appreciate you. You may not hear it every day, but they are the silent majority.
They are the silent majority. Now, I've been saying to you, Sid, you know, I hope that they're out there, that it's true. The AOC election was not indicative that there is a silent majority amongst the minority community, because they voted overwhelmingly for the radical creep who wants to actually defund the police, and worse. I mean, she's all in with the nutcakes and the Green New Deal, all this stuff that does, with the looters and the no cash bill. So I don't know. I hope he's right. I mean, I know the people in Harlem that call the cops on Saturday night. They're part of the silent majority. Yeah. I don't know if it's a majority, though.
I don't know either. That's the problem. We hope it's a majority come November, because if it's not, then what we've seen the last couple of months will become the status quo.
Days of summer, just off the sun.
Shooting and riding and beer. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. You know, on Friday, the House of Representatives, Sid Rosenberg, this is a history lesson for you. Might be in one of the questions for me at some point. The House voted on Friday to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's not true.
I swear to God. It's very, very true. And
but they got to change the name. It can't be Washington anymore.
Well, not only that, it would, more importantly, forget the symbolism, it would add two Democrat senators and another Democrat congressman.
Oh, my God.
So this is why they want to do it. But the Constitution clearly specifies that D.C. can't be a state, because they don't want a state, any one state, to house the seat of the federal government, making it more powerful. In other words, it would be a state on its own with senators and congressmen. And it would also, again, house the national...
The government.
Right, exactly, the national capital. And they didn't want that. They clearly specified that. So it goes against the Constitution. Well, it won't happen, because it passed in the House. It will not pass in the Senate, because it's a Republican-controlled Senate. However, come November,
oh boy,
depending on what happens, things can change. So they can change quickly overnight, and they can, if they get a lock on power in November, they're not going to lose it again.
No, they won't.
And this will be one way to ensure that. They'll pack the Supreme Court. They'll do it. The FDR tried to do it. These people will do it. These are ruthless animals. And like Schmuck Schumer and Pelosi and these other people, they don't have the balls to stand up. Again, we're in the throes of madness and cowardice these days. They don't have the balls to say no to some of the crazies, the squad, and these types of people. Now, Maxine Waters, believe it or not, said
that
if you do not vote to make D.C. a state, this is what she said. Listen.
More than 46% of its 700,000 residents are black. Make no mistake, race underlies every argument against D.C. statehood, and denying its citizen equal participation and representation is a racial, democratic, and economic injustice we cannot tolerate.
She's a moron.
It's a racial injustice.
She's just a complete moron.
Everything goes back to race these days. Everything. You name it, it's racial. So in that spirit, we'll stay with Black Lives Matter. And the mayor of Washington, D.C., she was actually out over the weekend. But no, she wasn't out. Let me just rephrase that. She actually was telling people not to go out, that this is COVID-19 is coming back. It's a dangerous thing. This is what she said over the weekend.
Large gatherings are still a high-risk activity. So if you're outdoors, that's still a high risk activity. So we want to urge people to properly social distance and to avoid public transportation.
Now, where was where were the authorities in this city when you had yesterday the Queer Liberation Movement and Black Lives Matter?
I saw all that.
With their major protests. And by the way, they ended up fighting with each other.
I know.
They're slashing up each other. The Queer Liberation Movement.
Never hear them before?
So yesterday? The blacks and the Queer Liberation. I can't call them queers. I mean, I'll have to say the whole name. The Queer Liberation Movement.
Have you ever heard of them before yesterday? I hadn't.
I'm a member.
Oh, you remember? Okay.
Yeah. So they were actually—I was there. Yeah. They were slashing each other, and then they went out. They went at it with the police. But between that and this group in Harlem that confronted the police and threw bottles at them, I didn't hear anything about social distancing.
That was Saturday night. No, there's no social distancing.
I didn't hear anything.
No, I
didn't hear nothing.
Well, since all these all these riots started, there's never been any of that. In fact, it's been the complete opposite, especially from the governor, Andrew Cuomo, who was saying how idealistic and great and it's nice to see folks with some real integrity get out there and do what this country was built on. So he's encouraging more and more people to go outside and do that against the social distancing, which he says is going to make not the second wave, but the first wave continue.
Right, which he advocates for sure. Well, it's funny you should mention that because the mayor of D.C., on June 6th, she was out with the protesters, and instead of condemning people for not social distancing, this was the CNN report.
The mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, and where was she today? She was out on the streets of her city. You see her in the green shirt, marching in unison with the demonstrators in the area. She has now officially designated as Black Lives Matter Plaza, and that's only steps away from the White House.
Get her out!
Yeah, it's a great thing. Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., was out on the streets with the people, shoulder to shoulder. Nothing about the coronavirus,
no.
Social distancing. Now she's telling people yesterday, you know what? Yeah, same thing. Hypocrisy. Now, speaking of hypocrisy and fake news, Chris Wallace, this guy is a real lowlife. I mean, I do not like, never did like Chris Wallace, even when he used to appear on Imus' show. And I know of some Fox News anchors that hate his guts.
But I do remember there was a time, not to to disagree with you, but there was a time years ago when you actually said to me you thought he was the smartest guy out of everybody on Sunday mornings. You did.
That may be true.
George Stephanopoulos and Chuck Todd and the rest of these guys, he was the smartest guy.
As a matter of fact, he's got a book out now called 1945, which I would imagine is a tremendous read for a history buff like myself. I would love to read
the end of World War II. Is that?
It's all about Truman dropping the bomb on Japan, dropping two bombs, actually. But, yeah, it's all about that. And I would love to read it. But I'm not going to read it because it's from him, because he is such a two-faced weasel is what he is. Well, and he's a nasty guy. I even when he goes on with Brian Kilmeade here on WABC, like Kilmeade has this open for him. He just gets nasty. Like,
yeah,
he
you're
says,
right.
You're calling me the receptive voice, Chris Wallace says to Brian Kilmeade. Well, you know, that makes no sense. What is a receptive voice? I mean, the guy put this nice intro to whatever.
Well,
anyway.
That's part of the problem, though, with Fox News. That's why you and I do commercials every day for Newsmax, and we do those commercials because we really believe what we're saying. You got a guy like Chris Wallace on Fox News who's going to put people like Hank Newsom on the air. I got news for you. Brett Baer, Martha McCallum, and their attempts to be a little more open-minded and give both sides a chance to speak. They are allowing people to say stuff on Fox News that really should not be okay. And this is why I understand President Trump's frustration. And Chris Wallace may be the guy at the very top of that list. He thought when Shepard Smith left, maybe there was a chance that Fox News could return to what they were. It's getting worse and worse.
Well, you know, funny you should mention Hank Newsom. It's actually Hawk Newsom.
Oh, Hawk Newsom, excuse me.
His real name is Walter Wallace.
Is that right?
It's Wally Wallace.
Walter Wallace, the Mel Gibson character, right? Braveheart.
That's right.
Oh, that was William Wallace.
It's Wally Wallace, and he still lives at home with his mommy in the Bronx.
Is that right?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Tough guy.
Lives at home with mommy.
Real tough guy.
And so he's on with Chris Rock. He's the guy that said, first of all, he said this on Fox News last week, causing a lot of, you know, whatever, outrage.
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it, all right? And I could be speaking figuratively. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation.
Yeah, learn how to talk, you moron.
So that was last week. Now, Chris Wallace, I mean, if it wasn't a remote interview, Chris Wallace would have given him a shoulder massage. It was such a puffball. It was like an Access Hollywood interview with a celebrity. It was unbelievable. So this is a question, though, that he asked. He didn't ask him about, for example, the Black Lives Matter agenda, which mentions nothing about George Floyd. It has everything to do with socialism, reparations, redistribution of wealth, defund the police, all of that stuff. He didn't put him on the spot for any of that crap. Didn't ask him anything about Chicago. How come Black Lives Matter there's not a mention of Chicago on their Twitter page. This is one thing that Hawk Newsom did say to Chris Wallace, and I thought it was interesting.
Look at the causes of why people are committing crime. They're desperate, they're poor, they're undereducated, and they are left out to dry by this American system of government. So if you want to decrease crime, you don't hire police to come in and arrest everybody and brutalize people. If you want to cure crime, then you must go to the source. You must invest in people. You must give people jobs. You must make people employable. Places with the highest murder rates have the highest rates of unemployment. So let's start talking about entrepreneurship programs in our communities. Let's start talking about schools that actually meet the needs of people.
Listen, some of the things he said, for example, jobs. The president had black unemployment down to historic levels.
Yeah, I know he did.
Talking about creating economic opportunity zones, that's exactly what President Trump is doing. Talking about poor schools, that's exactly what the Democrat leaders in all these Democrat cities are ruining. Schools, that's why the president and Republicans want school choice. So what he's saying is almost a conservative message, but this is the upshot of the whole thing is, again, Chris Wallace's puffball piece with this guy. This is what he said. He told the New York Post over the weekend. He lives in the Bronx with mommy, and this was posted Saturday night. So Chris Wallace's producers no doubt saw this because they're excellent, stellar producers. You have Hawk Newsom coming on. You Google everything Hawk. It was at New York Post Saturday night, and it was in the paper yesterday. He says this. We don't want white people here. He's talking about the Bronx.
Right.
We don't want white people coming in and raising our rents. You can't be a supporter of black people if you come gentrify their neighborhoods. Stay the F out of our communities. He's talking to white people.
Yeah, they feel the same way in Harlem.
Excuse me. Quite a racist language.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Do you think Chris Wallace asked him about
that? No. But that's okay.
Here's what happened when he did.
Yeah. That's okay. Look, they have a right to feel that way because, you know, 400 or 500 years ago and you know what happened. And even 60 years ago, even 40 years ago, the bus and you know what happened. So,
hey, listen,
it doesn't matter that LeBron James makes $1 billion or that, you know.
Or that our last president was black.
It doesn't matter.
The thing is, this is the greatest country. If you put your head down, forge ahead, no chip on your shoulder, get up early, work hard and forget all the nonsense. You can make it. You can do it here.
But
if you poison people's minds, and again, he's right about the schools.
Yeah, of course.
These kids are coming into this world handicapped because they're going to these stupid schools that talk about self-esteem, don't teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. And by the way, we spend more on students per capita than any nation in the world. In the world. So it's not money. It ain't money. Baltimore is the third largest. We spend more per capita in Baltimore, the third largest city. They get more per capita.
In terms of spending, right.
Number three.
Right.
And they have 13 high schools where nobody is proficient in math. So it ain't money. Something else is going on.
No, don't let him steal your heart away. No.
Phil Collins, don't let him steal your heart away. Tribute to Phil today, 7:28 now on your Monday morning. Back to work here in New York City. getting ready for the big holiday weekend. July 4th, of course, comes your way Saturday. Friday is the actual holiday, so most of us will enjoy a three-day weekend. Actually, Bernie and I will enjoy an 11-day weekend because after Thursday's show, we're going on vacation for the first time in I don't know how long. But anyway, the holiday is coming up, and it's going to be fractured this year. In that, instead of one big, massive Macy's July 4th fireworks show, in an attempt to make sure that people social distance outside of rioting and protesting, that's fine, and not large gatherings of people, they're now going to do it, according to the mayor, this moron, over 5 days, which will obviously end on July 4th. It'll be 5 days in all five boroughs, and you'll have about 5 minutes of fireworks each time, and they will not tell you exactly where these happenings are taking place because they don't want you to go. They want you to instead gather in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s on your rooftops, which will actually, if anything, do what exactly they don't want you to do.
That's a great idea. And plus, you lick it up watching fireworks or whatever. I mean, it's so stupid. They are
fall off the building.
I understand NBC is doing some sort of coverage. So the fireworks on Saturday, July 4th, will be a little... A little more spectacular,
a little bit, yes,
than some of these local hood deals. I don't know.
Correct.
Anyway, I went to fireworks myself.
Hey now,
Point Lookout, in New York. It was fabulous. It was great. It was this, as it was every single year. It was like normal times, and no miscreants, no malcontents, nobody to interrupt. It was very patriotic. It was beautiful. It was a wonderful night. And I hope it all goes off well this week, that people can celebrate and, celebrate this country, the July 4th, the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Problem is,
men are created equal.
Yeah, problem is too many people in this city hate this country. In this city specifically, you know, if you're down in Florida, it's fine.
Why do you think that is? I mean, it's like the best country in the history of civilization. Yeah. The least racist. People are dying, clamoring to get in, sneaking in, risking their life. Why do you think, what is going on? I mean, are they being brainwashed? Are their minds being poisoned? What's going on?
Well, I don't know if they're being brainwashed and their minds are being poisoned. I think they were there already. But when you have officials that encourage it and agree with you, that gives you the courage to go out and do whatever you want to do. I think that minds were already made up, but... When, you know, if the government officials are against you and the police are against you and rational people are against you, you can't do anything about it. But now they've been given basically a get-out-of-jail-free card to go nuts.
And then you have the opposition exploiting it when you have the other punk in a pantsuit, Nancy Pelosi, saying that the Republicans killed George Floyd. I mean, come on. I mean, this is a woman who does know better. And yet you hear that type of inflammatory language. Absolutely disgusting.
She's pathetic.
Reacting to a bill, by the way, that an African-American introduced in the Senate. The lone black Republican in the Senate. How many are in the Democratic Senate? Two.
Two.
And it's Cory Johnson and Kamala Harris.
Cory Booker, actually.
Cory Booker, excuse me. And, they're black, right?
Is that... I guess they are.
Well, Tim Scott is black. I can guarantee
you
that.
Yes, he certainly is.
It's my brother. Yep. Unless you're Michael Moore's sister.
He is heavy. You're right.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid, you heard everyone in the 77 WABC app. And our next guest, every Monday morning, 7:40, he's great. We love him. He's a funny guy. He's a nice guy, but a brilliant guy on top of everything else. He's the editor of the National Review, which you can get online and in magazine form, National Review. And he also is a syndicated columnist, Rich Lowry. Rich Lowry joins us now on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Rich.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Good, pal.
TGIM, Rich. That's what we say. Hey, listen, Rich, you write about a lot of things, of course, and we have several columns in front of us. I guess we'll start with one column that's entitled The Coming 2020 Train Wreck. I mean, people are dug in on each side, and you expand on that and expound on it as well. Tell us about it, please.
Well, I think no one can accept the result. I think... We'll see, if Trump wins, we'll see even more of a reaction than he won in 2016. Wouldn't surprise me if there's violence in the street. If Trump wins, and there'll be some other theory for why the election was stolen. You know, it was Russia last time. It'll be something else this time. And if Trump loses, it's not going to be a graceful exit because he's going to say he was robbed as well. So this is just a situation unprecedented, or at least that we haven't faced in the country in 130 years.
Well, you know, John Adams did skip Thomas Jefferson's inauguration. He left town the night before.
Yeah, well, you know, something people forget, 1790s, right at the beginning, extremely vicious period in our politics that sometimes makes what we're going through look like beanbag.
But true.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, right. No one's around to even remember it. Not one person, not
they,
one.
They didn't have AR-15s.
No, they didn't have any of that.
AK-47s.
You know, talking about either way, Trump is going to, you know, he's going to win. It's going to be bad. Charlie Gasparino, a friend on Fox News, was talking this weekend that talking to some of the folks that are close to Donald Trump, GOP guys, that Donald Trump is, this is according to Gasparino, is considering bowing out, that he's, his poll numbers have been really terrible. Look, fact is, whether you love the guy or not, it's been a brutal 3 months for him, a brutal 3 months. And according to Gasparino, again, some of the GOP guys were saying that Donald Trump is seriously considering bowing out before this election. Can you possibly see that?
I'm going to do what everyone else on your show does when they disagree with me.
Okay.
I love Charlie. He's a brilliant guy, but there's just no way. There's no way. And you got to remember, I mean, Trump in 2016, right? Every smart person in the room, you know, with a couple exceptions, says, sir, you're going to lose in a debacle, you know, and the polls were wrong, and he threaded the needle, and there's no reason that he wouldn't think he's going to be able to do this same thing now, and he's got a solid shot at doing that now, but a lot of work. Because I totally agree that the last 3 months have been a debacle politically.
Yeah. Now with the of course the anarchy in the streets. I mean, you really if Joe Biden gets elected, you're essentially rewarding the anarchists and the crazies in the streets as well. And the president polls well on the economy and on how to handle China. Those are the two areas that he exceeds in. And James Carville did say it's the economy, stupid. So with a law and order president and the economy, maybe some people will, you know, experience an epiphany who otherwise would vote Democrat.
Yeah, so the economy is his major card to play, and that's no small thing. It's just in everything else, pretty much, except for China. People are on the other side of the issues and can't stand him personally. There's some poll or some analysis I was just looking at just a minute ago, where Hillary in 2016 at this juncture, 43% of people considered her very negatively, and Biden is something like 23%. So he needs to get that Biden number way up from where it is now, you know, almost double it. And the problem he has is his very unfavorable number is like right there where Hillary's is. So he's not going to win just on his own. He needs to, as we've talked about for, you know, weeks and weeks now, he needs to do a lot of work on Biden, and it's not going to be easy. I think, Bernie, the natural play is to associate him with the radicalism of the party and with what's going on in the streets. It's just no one looks at this hapless guy in his basement and thinks he's, you know, quasi Antifa.
Well, will there be debates? Just real quick, because Sid has an important question to ask you.
I think there will be. I think Trump wants them. I think Trump is worried that Biden doesn't want them and thinks he can expose Biden in debates. And if the current trajectory holds, he's going to need, you know, game changers later on in the election. And a debate would be a possibility for one of those, a potential for one of those. And Biden is such a conventional guy, I don't think he can say no to debates.
Yeah, right now they've got three. They say they're scheduling three debates. I think there'll be a debate, too, but I doubt there will be three. Rich Lowry, editor, National Review, here for his Monday morning conversation. I think the reason why our producer, Matt Meany, played that song, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother, I don't know this for a fact, but this is what I'm assuming, is because of your other column, which reads, it's brilliant, why did anyone at CNN think it was okay for an anchor to routinely interview his brother? So, Meany, am I right? Is that why you played that? He ain't heavy, he's my brother?
100%.
All right. So, we saw Chris Cuomo and Andrew Cuomo together, I guess, for the last time last week. And they would routinely, and I mean routinely, and you know this, Rich, laugh and giggle like 14-year-old schoolgirls about some of the most atrocious things going on in the country. It was just unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, and New York, you know, hardest hit state in the country besides perhaps New Jersey, which is right up there, which are some of the hardest, if not the hardest hit places in the world. And look, I have some sympathy for Cuomo. I think New York was going to have a hard time regardless, but he made it worse with his debacle of a decision about the nursing homes. And just that he had these patty cake interviews constantly, these cutesy interviews on what's supposed to be a news channel, is just absurd.
But it's not just the nursing homes. Also, his refusal to move this city past these ridiculous first two stages, as small businesses are dying every single day because of political reason, no matter what he says, to me, is not as bad as people dying, but it's close.
Yeah, and you look at Ron DeSantis, who now is getting shot at by everyone in the media again, and cases are up in Florida. But Ron DeSantis doesn't have the advantage of having a Chris DeSantis, you know, on a major cable network interview him every day, cake interviews. And the thing that's going on in Florida seems to be it is concentrated among younger people. And you don't want people to get this. We don't know what the long-term health consequences are, if it's serious. You can be very young and still get very sick, but by and large, you're much less likely to end up in the hospital and much less likely to die. So this is concerning, but the media just wants to portray any reopening as an apocalypse. And it's not that yet. It could still get worse, but no one ever contended, we talked about this repeatedly, that you could reopen and not have any additional cases. That was fantasy.
Yeah, we flattened the curve. We slowed the spread. I mean, I'm begging you. We have to, the economy and the coronavirus have to coexist, Rich Lowry, in my opinion.
Right.
But I'd like to move on to the next question, which is, Chris Wallace interviewed this guy, Hawk Newsom, the New York chairman of Black Lives Matter. Anyway, whatever. He said that if we don't get what we want, we got to burn this B-word down. Whether figuratively or literally. My question is this. The president of Black Entertainment Television, or the founder anyway, he said that BLM should become a third party, and they're very, very popular at this point. Do you think there's any chance of that happening?
That's interesting. You know, it is a path for influence in American politics if you become a third party and so threaten the electoral interests of one of the established parties that have to move your way. But I don't see why why would that even be necessary? You know, you have the Democratic leaders wearing a kente cloth and kneeling,
that's right,
and basically entirely on board this agenda. So that's I don't know why they would even have to do this. I mean, the Democrats are a Black Lives Matter party now.
I would ask you to be a psychologist and or a psychiatrist for a second, and if you can't, that's fine. You explain to me why so many white people, and every rally that I see up here in New York, rally, protest, riot, whatever you want to call it, is predominantly white people at these Black Lives Matter meetings. Can you explain to me why white people feel this need to constantly put on social media how much they love them, kneel in the street and lick their feet? What is it about these white people that makes them think black people will like them more if they do that? Because the truth is, we know for a fact that's not the case.
Well, I think there are two things going on, so that have to be distinguished. One, if you look at just general opinion among whites, they think the problem with the police, they think police need to be better, which is fine, reasonable enough. Then you have these protesters, and this is a phenomenon of woke America, you know, these kind of radical left millennials and others, and
these are Bernie Sanders people, by the way, a lot of them.
But they're more white people like that than there are black people.
Well, with $2,000
relatively moderate
$2,000 bicycles, very privileged people, by the way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So these are the young professionals who are gentrifying black neighborhoods. And they're the ones, a lot of them holding bricks and spray cans, and you had some black protesters several weeks ago saying, what are you doing? Don't do that. We're going to be blamed for it. So there's a segment of white America that is more radical on this than the balance of opinion in among African Americans. And you see that in the streets.
You certainly do. You know, regarding this Hawk Newsom, the New York leader of the Black Lives Matter chapter, he said this to the New York Post over the weekend. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi wearing West African kente cloths and taking the knee, it's insulting. So, you know, in other words, the BET's Robert Johnson also said that that black people are laughing at white people at this point, knocking down statues, washing their feet, and you have this guy saying, you know, wearing these kente cloths. it's just an embarrassment. It's just it's pandering to the nth degree, and everybody knows it. Just empty, hollow gestures.
Yeah, I think on that he's right. And you know, we've also seen incredible pictures last couple of days. You know, this Emancipation Memorial in Washington, a statue marking Abraham Lincoln's freeing of the slaves, which you think would be uncontroversial,
right?
Yes. That's become highly controversial. But it's white people who have been the most radical. You've had two notably older African American, a gentleman and a gentlelady, who are up there with the bullhorn, saying this is the history of this thing. It was paid for by freed slaves. Don't touch it. You're crazy. And white people screaming at them who know nothing about it, you know, who are more radical, than these African Americans actually know the history and have some respect for our history.
60 seconds to go. Let's get to the important stuff. And it ain't Donald Trump. And it ain't statues. And it ain't racism. And it ain't Black Lives Matter. How many, Rich Lowry, of the 60 games that the Yankees will play will you watch?
Well, it's funny. I felt so emotionally detached. I don't even know right now what muscle Juan Carlos Stanton has strained. That's how detached I am from baseball and the Yankees. So I've kind of thought of this ridiculous negotiation that's gone back and forth. You know what? I've learned I can have a summer without baseball. I'm not going to be into it. And then I saw Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer.
Yeah, that's the opening night.
I'm like, okay, I'm there. Yeah.
That is the opening night. The Yankees taking on the World Series champion Washington Nationals, and it is going to be Garrett Cole and Max Scherzer. As always, brilliant, Rich Lowry. Have yourself a great week and a great 4th of July. We're going to be off next week, so we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks, okay, buddy? Thank you.
Great. Thanks, fellas. God bless America.
God bless you, and God bless America is right. So, Collins, Genesis, I will follow you. Governor Andrew Cuomo, he got a lot of followers. As we start half number two, hour number three of this Bernie and Sid in the Morning program on Talk Radio 77, WABC. You know, it's funny to me how when you listen to Cuomo speak, and that was courtesy of NBC yesterday morning, my old buddy Chuck Todd and Meet the Press. I don't talk to Chuck much anymore. In fact, at all. But it's interesting when you see Cuomo do all of these interviews, whether it's with Chuck Todd on MSNBC or Rachel Maddow on MSNBC or his brother on CNN, he's constantly beating his chest. He is constantly taking aim at the president of the United States, other governors, especially Ron DeSantis down in Florida. He is constantly beating his chest. Now, I live in New York City. I don't just work here with you, but I live in New York City. I work in New York City. So does my wife. So does my kids. I'm not up in Albany or Buffalo or Rochester. So why aren't I seeing? What am I missing? I live and work here. I'm here every day, all day. Why aren't I seeing all these magnificent things this governor seems to proclaim every time he's on television? What am I missing? What have I not seen? What's the matter with me? I read the papers. I watch TV. I do a talk radio show every day. What's the matter with me?
What's the matter with you?
What?
No, he is. Denial is not just a state of mind, or whatever the hell he said the other day. The guy is—he's deluded. He's clearly in denial. Yeah, we went through hell, and it was his decisions that made it a living nightmare, hellish nightmare, is what it was. It was his decision that cost the lives of so many. I don't know what he's crowing about. He should be hiding. We're 43rd in the list of states. Per 100,000 people dying per 100,000, we're 43rd.
Yeah,
I mean that's nothing to crow about.
We're also in phase two. You know, again,
yeah, the city's dead
at the state of again repetition. My wife and kids are down in Florida, and they are enjoying themselves. They go out for dinner. They go to the mall. Now, lots of the stores are closed, to be honest, but the mall is open. You do have to make an appointment to see somebody at Neiman Marcus or Saks. But the point is, they're living a normal life down there. They have been for 2 weeks, and I'm supposed to be excited that, yes, I was able to eat dinner outside on Friday and Saturday, but again, I'm seeing more and more stores that are still boarded up and the names coming off the stores.
And not coming back.
No, they're not coming back.
He presided over the death of New York City with this slow roll of the opening. Him and, of course, the other idiot who just take that for granted.
De Blasio, I don't even mention him.
Right.
But you can. I mean, listen, you can mention Andrew Cuomo. You can mention Bill de Blasio. You can mention the city council. We brought this up a couple of times this morning. This is Corey Johnson, who not that long ago, only a couple of years ago, voted to add more police. And now he's at the very forefront of defund, if not abolish, the police. This moron. Hypocrite. This backstabbing idiot.
Well, and also with Cuomo, I mean, he was the guy who said that rioting, looting, and all this stuff is a healthy expression.
He did
a healthy
that.
Political expression.
Yeah.
And, of course, they mentioned nothing about the lack of social distancing amongst those creeps. Nothing about that. He also is the guy who said America was never a great country. He's also the guy who signed the no cash bail law, which has cost black women, black men, white women, white men lives.
We're going to end the cash bail system once and for
yeah.
all.
And now it's completely unpopular with the public. No, I say he's got nothing. He's got no authority, no credibility.
Okay, good.
And then the stupid, you know, we talked to Rich Lowry, the Cuobro show on CNN was
that's over.
Was a debacle. Fredo Cuomo, his ratings plummeted 50% while he kept putting the dopey on there.
I know. And they sat there and giggled while Rome was burning.
Yeah.
Now you talk about the bail reform.
I'm a cool mood in a loose, whatever.
Cool
it was.
Dude in a loose
I'm a
mood.
Cool dude in a loose mood.
So one of the
schmuck.
What's really happened here now in this city, which is really the biggest story of the day, outside of Cam Newton going to the Patriots, is the cops, the poor cops. Listen, Bernie and Sid, I've been very pro police from day one. That never changed. Certainly being dear friends for 30 years with Bo Dietl doesn't hurt, but it has nothing to do with that. We understand and appreciate what these brave men and women in blue go through every day, day in and day out. Leaving in the morning and kissing Danielle and the kids goodbye and not knowing if they'll be home that night to ever see them again. And now what they're going through in this city, and really across the country. I mean, Aurora, Colorado should be embarrassed. Mississippi, every state across this country. Minneapolis, the worst, of course.
The stupid white people are, I'm not going to call the cops on these miscreants and vagrants in the park.
Yeah, so all these states should be ashamed of themselves. But we only care about right here because we're living here. And in this city, at least, again, where I live and work, I feel like we need more cops, not less cops. And yet you got these low lives, they are low lives, sleeping outside of City Hall day in and day out. Again, the majority white people with their stupid Bernie Sanders shirts and their Black Lives Matter masks, which I see all over New York City.
They're the recent college graduates that we were talking about a couple of years ago who are the snowflakes on campus sucking their thumbs with their safe spaces and all that stuff. They've graduated. Now they're in that park.
Right, now they're in that park. And the cops... You know, look.
And other places, by the way, over the place.
They're all over the city. The cops are they're retiring now, as they should. They show up like Harlem Saturday night when they get a phone call and they get barraged with, you know, water and batteries and all kinds of stuff. It's gotten to the point now where it's so scary being a cop. Bo actually texted me last night and he said, and I quote, the exact quote from Bo Dietl was, cops are going to die. That was his quote. Not cops going to get harassed more, thrown water bottles at, cursed at, yelled at. His quote was, quote Bo Dietl, cops are going to die. They know that. So while, you know, Terrence Monaghan talks a big game every now and then, he's quick to apologize for Dr. Barbeau. He's quick to get on his knees and kneel like he never should have done in the first place. So cops are under attack in this city. I've never seen this. Not in my 53 years on the planet. And to me, this makes for a very, very scary future. Like, I want out of here. Like, I want out of here in a big, big way. I don't live on Long Island like you by the beach. I don't live in Brooklyn, John's new buildings on Coney Island. I live right in the heart of all this, and it is scary, to say the least. And my heart goes out to these cops who have to deal with local politicians and animals on the street every day.
Yeah. I mean, what else can you say? Look, Terrence Monaghan, this guy, there was a piece in the paper yesterday, anonymous piece by a detective who lays the blame at the cops who knelt. He, among other things, this is what he wrote. I think the kneeling was the white flag. The kneeling eliminated what little hope the cops had. I think the kneeling sacrificed the cops. What little expectation of authority the cops felt they had, they lost it right there. Terrence Monaghan, guy who...
I killed him weeks ago, Terrence Monaghan. There was reports...
There were others. One guy actually apologized, said, I don't know what I was doing. I'm sorry about that.
Well, I'm glad he apologized. And look, we know about the guy in the Bronx who walked away...
I'm sorry, one more thing. The day Terrence Monaghan knelt, that was the worst night. That was the Monday, the worst night. That Monday night, we had the worst riots.
The gentleman that left the office in the Bronx, that walked away. So it's kind of like a TV. It was like a commercial. He's walking away. Everybody's clapping.
He's the 46th precinct commander. Yeah. His name is Richard Bria.
Richard Bria came out. And if anybody confuses the issue, the overwhelming reason why this is taking place is because your politicians are allowing it. That's the bottom line. If Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio and Corey Johnson and all these lowlives were pro-cop and against this, this would not be going on.
And by the way, they purported to be just a few years ago.
Well, especially Corey Johnson.
And then you have, just not for nothing, but I read Phil Mushnick on Friday. I hit a great column. He killed the ESPN radio show in the afternoon.
Michael Kay.
Very anti-cop. This one creep on the show, Peter Rosenberg.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually he accused Phil Mushnick. And again, he talked about the anti-cop crap coming out of them. But he accused Phil Mushnick of being a racist because he criticizes rap lyrics where they use the N-word.
Right.
And where they degrade women. And Mushnick wrote, he says, "I challenge you to read some of the lyrics from these rap songs." And, of course, Rosenberg declined the challenge.
Well, listen, they're very liberal, those guys. Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, Michael Kay, show.
But so far from being liberal, they're now anti-cop.
Well, but if you're liberal, for the most part, if you're especially radical liberal, you're anti-cop. That goes along. That goes hand in hand.
Right,
you don't see conservatives are against cops, do you?
Well, there are some Democrats who are not a bust-out anti-cop.
Well, fine, they are radical, so I'm not surprised that LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg would feel that way.
So remember that, folks. That's what you have on the afternoon ESPN radio. Anti-cop sports host.
This was talking about cops from the 46th precinct. Richard Bria on his way out, talking exactly what I just talked about, which is, folks, don't confuse the issue. When you see what's going on in this city, it lays at the feet of the politicians.
So all the so-called political leaders of the city who have abandoned the safety of the city for political expediency, our cops are not political pawns. I want you to remember, every single politician that is in office today, because they are responsible, and this will be their legacy. If this city goes back to how it was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, then they better own it. They better own it. Let's not forget the fallen members that have paid the ultimate sacrifice to ensure the safety of this city. Their blood is in the concrete in every street corner. But these politicians don't want to remember that. They want to blame and vilify everyone here. I won't have that.
Good for you, Richard. Well said.
Ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is mad at black.
It's kind of catchy. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everyone in the 77 WABC app. You know, while regular sports fans are, they're suffering, they're jonesing out over a lack of sports, I'm getting my fill big time. The UFC, another great night of fights from Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, it's unbelievable. Great, great fights. Dustin Poirier and Dan Hooker. For you UFC fans, you know what I'm talking about. That was just a classic, epic battle royale. So I am getting my share. I'm getting more than my share. I have to tape them and save them because there's so many damn fights. It's fantastic. So I am not suffering in the least. Now, just one more thing here as far as playing audio. We talked about this guy a lot. The founder of Black Entertainment Television, he repeated in another interview his claim about how black people are laughing at white people. This is what he said.
Having fun that they can go out and pull down a statue and have the mistaken assumption that black people are sitting around cheering for them, saying, "Oh my God, look at these white people. They're doing something so important to us. They're taking down a statue of a Civil War general who fought for the South." You know, black people, in my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this.
They're laughing at you. They have contempt for you. You're an embarrassment is what you are, you stupid, privileged idiots. They're right. You do have privilege. Monica is in Westfield, I guess New Jersey. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, guys. Power to the people. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's right.
That's where it's going to come from. People out there, no more silent majority. Join O'Reilly's Stand for America, because that's where it's going to come from. And the black entertainment founder, he's right. They are laughing because those black people are losing their businesses. They're losing their families. We all have to come together and get these commies, finished and done with.
Well said, Monica. It's going to be law and order in the economy thus far, though there's 4 months left. Things could change. We might have a couple of terrorists. China might invade Taiwan. Who the hell knows? But you're right. As of now, those are going to be the issues. And, yes, so Bill O'Reilly has a movement going on. Go to BillO'Reilly.com. Stand with America. Joe is in Howard Beach. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, pal. Could be worse.
All right. Listen, I think I mentioned in this past. I'm fighting this cancer up in Sloan Kettering, you know. And I thank you guys for helping me in the mornings. You guys get me along pretty good.
You're welcome, Joe. Be well. Thank you.
Last Wednesday, I went for a treatment. You know, so I got there about 8:30, and it's a 2.5-hour treatment. And, you know, they put the stuff. And the young girl that took him, he was a young black girl from Fort Greene, Brooklyn, and I went to school down there. And she started talking to me. She grew up in the projects down there. And she's telling me, she says, ashamed of her people. She's ashamed. She says, it's disgusting. She says she grew up in the projects. She went to NYU. She got a master's degree. She's a nurse in one of the best cancer hospitals in the country.
Did all the right things.
Yeah, and then she's telling me, so then I put the radio on, and I put you guys on. I'm in the booth, you know, and she come back in, and she checks you like every 20 minutes, and she says, oh, you listen to these guys? I says, yeah. She says, oh, man. She says, they're the best. Says, I listen to these guys in the morning when I come in. She says, these guys are the best. She says,
all right.
She says, one guy should be police commissioner and the other guy should be mayor. She goes, and here's the young. So what I did was, you know, I had such a good conversation with this girl for 2 hours. And when you're in that room and you're getting that stuff pumped into you, that's the best thing you could ever have, is to have a good conversation. You know what I mean?
Hey, Joe, that's great. Thank you for passing that along, and Godspeed with your treatments. You're a great, great American, to quote Sean Hannity. Anthony is in Suffolk County. Good morning, Anthony. Come on, Ant.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
Great. I just want to talk about the deterioration of the five boroughs in New York City. It's a disgrace what the politicians are doing, and they're the problem. The solution is to vote them out. Unfortunately, the obstacle is the rampant voter fraud that goes on within five boroughs. We've got to do something with the Board of Elections, maybe have their computer system intertwined with Social Security to find out who's getting ballots of people that are dead and people that shouldn't be on the rolls anymore. We've got to figure a way to get rid of the voter fraud. It's a disgrace what's going on.
It really is. It's going to be a lot worse come 2020. I mean,
the election, right?
They're going to be leaning a lot on mail-in voting.
Oh.
And it's going to be horrendous. I mean, just had those guys in Paterson, New Jersey. Two of them were city council members. One was a city councilman-elect. But either way, four of them were arrested out there just soliciting votes and walking in with a bunch of ballots. And it happens all the time, all over the country. Some people get caught, some don't. But you know, if they allow a voter mail-in voting, it will be now a major organized bunch of fraud. You got to have people come to the booth, as they say in my old hood with an F at the end. Come to the booth, the voting booth.
Only way to do it. Only way to do it.
With an ID.
You know what I'm saying, Byrne?
Show me who the hell you are.
What am I saying?
That's what I'm asking.
Oh. Well, what's going to happen?
I don't know. One last one. Ernie is in the BK. Ernie, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys. Over the weekend, One America News was running a crawl about the Rolling Stones wanting to sue our president for using "You Can't Always Get What You Want."
You know, I was wondering what took them so long.
Yeah.
Ernie, thank you for that. Yeah, I saw that.
Keith Richards isn't exactly all there. Well, Mick Jagger should have known better,
Mick
right?
Mick Jagger is all there. And I hope the next time he's on stage shaking his wrinkled up old ass.
Yeah.
That he falls off the stage and...
Don't say that. Arthur Idala loves the Rolling Stones.
Well, for this,
okay.
Yeah.
Didn't John Cougar Mellencamp get really pissed at John McCain? Wasn't he using that song? This is our country.
This happens all the time. They did it to McCain. And by the way, calling all Republican presidential candidates and presidents racist happens all the time.
All the time.
But the same thing with the music. stop playing our music unless they get paid off.
But they never complained about Democrats. Wasn't like Bill Clinton, well, Fleetwood Mac, and all that? I know. It's just, come it's on. Really annoying. I just, everywhere, even music. You can't get away from it.
But the you can't always get what you want theme. Trump's been using that forever. And yeah. I always listen to it. And I say, when are they going to step up and say, you can't use our music? They finally have done so.
Well, just tell them to use Kid Rock. Doesn't Kid Rock love President Trump?
Yeah.
Okay, and who else loves it? Doesn't
D. Snyder. He's using the...
D. Snyder? He hasn't done a song in 40 years.
No, it doesn't matter. You can use...
Twisted Sister?
How old is... You can't always get what you want.
Oh, God, like 40 years.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you. D. Snyder and the Kid Rock. That's all you need.
Phil Collins. And Genesis. That was... my go-to act for today on this Monday morning, the first of the four last shows for Bernie and I forever. No, we wouldn't do that to you. The city, you think the city is falling apart now? If we ever left, forget about it. We'll be back, of course, on Monday the 13th, so we'll do the show Thursday, and then we're leaving. And I'm not telling anybody where I'm going. You going anywhere, you just staying home. Don't even bother saying anything. It doesn't matter. So.
Yeah, I got to keep my...
you got to keep it quiet.
The cards close to the vest.
See what I'm saying? Hey, Bern, big day Saturday, though, here. July 4th, of course, is on Saturday.
I'm thinking of going to Minneapolis.
That's a good place to go. This time of year, it's lovely, especially right now. Yeah.
Or maybe Seattle.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you something about Minneapolis right after I read this. Tunnel to Towers Foundation and 77 WABC present an All-American July 4th. We celebrate the 4th with great American music and conversations with the artists that created the soundtrack to our lives. Folks like Frankie Valli, Tony Orlando, Tommy James, and many more. You can vote now for your favorite song at WABCRadio.com. And most importantly, our guy Mayor Rudy Giuliani talks to the families of our frontline heroes. It all begins at 6 o'clock this Saturday night. It's the 4th of July. It's brought to you by Tunnel to Towers and, of course, us. We are Talk Radio 77 WABC. So, talking about Minneapolis. So I'm laying in bed Saturday after I do my 5-mile run and my Peloton bike class and my workout, the whole thing. And by the way, it's very tiring. And you know this, Bernie, because you're in the same exact boat, being a very successful talk show radio host and a sex symbol. It's very, very tiring. It's too much.
I tell you, it ain't easy.
Ain't easy. So I'm laying in bed and I'm watching Reels channel, R-E-E-L-Z. If you ever want to know what happened to Natalie Morales, you can find her there. She was like a big star, right? Good-looking girl.
Huge.
Today's show first.
Yeah. I believe MSNBC first.
She was.
When we were there.
Correct. With folks then, like Amy Robach.
She graduated like...
early.
Like that loser Willie Geist.
She graduated early, though, right away.
Earlier than he did. Yeah. Then was relegated to, I think, Access Hollywood.
I think so.
And now Reels.
Reels, yes.
Whereas Willie went back to MSNBC.
Well, but he's still on NBC, too, Willie. He still hosts a Sunday morning show.
Yes,
he does. So it's a pretty big gig.
Because Daddy was a famous broadcast.
Well, of course. But she was,
keep that in mind, just like Andrew Cuomo and Fredo Cuomo.
Same thing. But she was one of the early rising stars, like Contessa Brewer, another one who Imus made cry off the stage back in Secaucus. I was sitting there for that one. That was really nasty. So anyway, she's on the Reels channel, and they did. I was watching all these music shows. They were documentaries on music, folks, who died. So, for example, I watched the whole hour on Amy Winehouse. Just so you know, Amy Winehouse... just like Jimi Hendrix, just like Janis Joplin, and a few others, died at the age of 27. She's in that 27 club.
And it was heroin as well.
They thought when she died she was worth about $20 million.
Did she choke on her own vomit did?
No, she didn't do that. She was worth about $4
million.
Does
that make it any better?
No, I mean, you're dead anyway. It doesn't really matter. But she lost all of her money because she spent it all on drugs and rehabs. And so anyway, after Amy Winehouse was done, the next 2 hours was a rockumentary on, talking about Minneapolis, Prince. And, you know, you forget, but Prince could have lived anywhere he wanted to in America. He was worth $1 billion. He could have lived in New York City, Los Angeles, Miami, you name it. He never left Minneapolis. He built the Paisley something or other, which was worth $10 million. Acres and acres of this huge house with recording studios and all these cool things in his place. He never left Minneapolis. And he did an interview with Travis Smiley. And he said, why would you stay here? And he said, because it's home.
Yeah.
I wonder what Prince would say today. And look, Prince, black, grew up with a lot of issues as a black kid in Minneapolis, at a time when that really wasn't accepted. But I wonder where Prince, how he would feel about his city being burned down today. He never left. Never left.
Paisley Park, by the way.
Paisley Park,
you know,
very good.
Dave Chappelle is similar. He lives in Dayton, Ohio, and he goes to, like, the diners. He wanted to stay where he grew up. But it's funny you should mention that about Minneapolis, because I mentioned the UFC, which I watched over the weekend. And there was one fighter. First of all, there was a fight between a Palestinian and a Puerto Rican kid. I swear to God.
I think I'd say a Palestinian and a Jew would have been like Rocky IV.
It was a Puerto Rican kid and a Palestinian. The Palestinian was from Chicago, and his dad's business was burned down and just completely destroyed. The Palestinian, you know, the minority, the brown guy.
Yeah.
And the Puerto Rican kid had his relatives had similar things happen to their businesses here in New York City. The Puerto Rican, the minority guy. And there was one guy, a black guy, who won a heavyweight fight. He actually was he moved to New Mexico to train for the fight from Minneapolis. He brought his family down. He was actually crying on TV. He said, "I had to win this fight to move down here in order to stay here. And now I'm going to stay here with my wife and kids. I left the madness in Minneapolis." Mm. That's a quote.
He left the madness in Minneapolis.
This black 250-pound heavyweight tough UFC fighter, sick of the madness in Minneapolis.
Well, my cousin Norm Coleman, who lives in St. Paul, they were also affected by it. They are twin cities right next to each other. He spends more and more time in Virginia, and he loves the state of Minnesota. I mean, he went to school in Iowa, went to Hofstra, was hanging out with Abby Hopman, Brooklyn boy, you know, born by Kings Highway, lived by Kings Highway, and spent his whole life in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he's not there most of the time now. It's impossible there.
There used to be a phrase, a Minnesota nice. And I would imagine most of the state is like that. It turns into an iceberg, essentially, during the winter. But it is a nice place. They have a lot of lakes and stuff. And it's serene and
tranquil, but it's not nice. I mean, another example, very anecdotal. But
cities, though.
Yes. One of Gabe's best friends at his school in the Upper West Side, his name is Angelo, and he suffers from Down syndrome. He's a wonderful kid. And he's got a single parent. Her name is Gina. She's the mother. And she was from Minnesota. And she decided to take Angelo out of school last year. She wasn't happy with the direction of the learning. You know, she's a conservative, by the way. And she went back to the state of Minnesota. And she FaceTimes Danielle and Gabe almost every night. She wants out. She said to me, she goes, "Sydney, I blame you. You should have told me these people in my state have gone absolutely crazy." I go, "I've been there once. For Norm Coleman's son's wedding 2 years ago in St. Paul. How would I know that?" Of course, she was joking around, but she couldn't wait to get back to Minnesota. She got back to Minnesota. She's coming back to New York in the fall.
I don't believe. Look, they will defund the police. They're going to reorganize.
They may demolish the police. They may abolish
exactly.
It. City council voted to abolish the police.
So the place has turned into a madhouse because they have they've allowed it. Part of it is their crazy immigration policies. You know, for some reason, they targeted Minneapolis with Somalis.
Yes.
I mean, not blaming all this on Somalis, but, you know, I mean, you immigrate people from a third world nation with their traditions. I don't know. Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know.
They've had some issues with the Somalian people there. Don't forget the guy in the mall who went with the samurai sword and all that stuff. And they've had some issues. But plus you've got a town that's got politicians that include Ilhan Omar, Frankel, what's his name, Al Franken.
It's where the former attorney, Keith Ellison.
Yeah, I know.
And his son is on the city council, so you have these crazy liberal white politicians, the mayor, Jacob Fry, and these white people who live in a neighborhood where their park was infested, just like City Hall Park down in infested with vagrants and homeless, tents and everything, and they swore they will not call the police. They're afraid. They're afraid to send their kids to the park anymore. One guy got robbed. I told you about him last week. It turns out he gave the thieves the keys to his home, and they tried to get into the car with that. So they just threw it away, and he ran away. They ran away and robbed another car, but he did call the police. And he told the story to the New York Times, then texted the New York Times and said, "You know, I feel bad. I'm sorry that I called the cops on these two young black men who tried to rob my car. I'm very sorry because I put their life in danger because when the police come to arrest them.
They kill them.
Right? Yeah, yeah. This is the kind of mentality you have. Minnesota, nice. Minnesota's stupid.
Yeah, we're long ways from Fran Tarkenton and Chuck Foreman, Ahmad Rashad, Sammy White, and the Purple People Eaters. All those great players. Carl Eller, Alan Page, I should say, Jim Marshall. Long ways from the great days of those Viking teams and the great state of Minnesota.
By the way, it's the state, I believe the motto is the land of 10,000 lakes.
That's correct.
So, therefore, it is a beautiful place.
They should change it to the old Natalie Merchant Band, which I saw perform three times at the Beacon Theater. How about the land of 10,000 maniacs?
Lunatics.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Call now. Be the seventh caller at 800-848-WABC. If you think you can beat Bernie.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
I guess that's me, back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. You know, I'm looking at a picture of this queer liberation march. They marched with Black Lives Matter. They ended up fighting with each other and slashing each other up with knives, but not before confronting the police. And there's a picture of these poor cops standing there. While these mutts in their, they were walking around in their underwear. I mean, these people are like, is that how you celebrate whatever the hell you are, is by walking around in your underwear? They're screaming and yelling, giving the cops the finger. These poor cops show just an incredible restraint. I feel so sorry for them. Just terrible, terrible that they're not able to just whip out the baton and start doling out wooden shampoos left and right. I mean, in the right-minded world, that would be the solution. I mean, you can't have that. You can't have authority being mocked like that. It's just wrong, and it just
I got to hand it to bothers
the, President Trump. He loves you.
Bothers the hell out of me. Listen,
you know what really burns my ass? A flame about 6 feet high.
Listen, speaking of getting your ass burned, Jimmy Kimmel. He got burned by his former comments. As you know, he's disappeared. His blackface and all that stuff.
Well, he didn't get burned. He took the summer off. He disappeared because he made racial comments, but he hasn't been suspended and or fired.
No, not yet.
Okay. But so he hasn't gotten burned yet.
But he's off the air for the summer because he's trying to duck it. But anyway, his friend, he used to be on The Man Show, which where a lot of these things took place, Adam Carolla, who has a very successful podcast. He was on Fox News over the weekend with Jesse Waters, and Waters actually asked Carolla about all that. Take a listen.
I don't understand really the comment that he made about, racists are pretending to be outraged to silence him. I haven't heard that before. Where do you think he's getting that from?
I don't know. I didn't read his apology or his statement. I don't want to get out in the weeds on this one.
Do you really believe that Adam Carolla going on Jesse Waters' show to talk about Jimmy Kimmel and his apology and his blackface, he didn't read Jimmy Kimmel's apology?
Why would he go on that show, though? He's a friend of Kimmel. He's not going to savage Kimmel. Jesse Waters wants him to.
I'll tell you why. He was promoting a book.
Okay, that's why. He wasn't on there to talk about...
But that was... no doubt, the Waters people told him, listen, we're having you on to talk about Jimmy Kimmel, and you can promote your book while you're
right,
here.
Right, but he wasn't going to savage the guy. He wouldn't do it.
No, but Mike, do you believe that he didn't read the apology?
I don't know.
In other words, Kimmel's blaming racists. That's good. That's what they always do. The racists blame, but they project. So anyway,
I don't know. He may not have read the apology because Kimmel's his friend and he wasn't going to care about it anyway. So he may not have read it. But either way, how do you defend it? That's my question.
Well, here's how he defended it. Why don't you play both two and three? Take a listen to both Adam Carolla two and three.
I can tell you that we have to make a definitive difference between blackface and doing a character who happens to be black. If you want to remove Jimmy Kimmel from the equation, we can focus on Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon is doing Chris Rock. He's doing it in a context. There's a context for it. It's fine. Jimmy Kimmel's doing Carl Malone. Jimmy Kimmel's doing Oprah. Jimmy Kimmel is doing Snoop Dogg. There's a context. It's comedy.
But you understand that black Americans, when they see white Americans, in many contexts, whether it's comedy or anything, when they put darker makeup or whatever on their skin, it really has a negative effect because of the history of that.
They shouldn't. They should look at everything in a context. What is going on? We're going to have to start speaking about the difference between what is intentional and what isn't. You know, was there a noose hanging in Bubba Wallace's garage? Yes, there was. Was it meant for him? No, it wasn't. Okay, let's put some context into things. Katy Perry makes shoes that are black and puts a smiley face on it. Is a shoe doing blackface? I mean, we've lost our minds. We have to start. The adults need to start speaking up.
The adults need to start speaking up. It's okay. We're doing comedy. That's the context.
I don't care if you're not doing comedy. I'll never forget when you and I first started. I'll never forget it. And some lady called. She said, listen, Halloween's coming up next week. My son is freckle-faced. He's got red hair. He's white. But he's going as Reverend Martin Luther King. I go, okay, great. So you paint his face black, right? He's black. No. I go, then how is he going to be the Reverend Martin Luther King if he's white with freckles? How could that possibly work? In other words, we should get to the point where if you're doing something that is A, comedic, or B, even respectful, and the person's black,
now you sound like
you dress like a black person.
You sound like Megyn Kelly.
Well, she was right. Hey, Roland Martin was wrong.
You know, I used to do, of course, in addition to Cardinal O'Connor, many other voices on the I Miss the Morning Show, I did topical people like the former mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin.
Yes, I remember that.
I did Jason Williams. The basketball player. I used to do Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
Nobody said, hey, listen, when they criticized me, hey, how come this white guy's doing?
No.
Nobody said, hey, context, man, context. Nobody ever afforded me that.
No, that's true.
That latitude. True. Nobody, yeah. No. It's pretty funny, right?
Now you got to get out.
You think Jimmy Kimmel would do that for me?
I doubt it. Now you got to get out.
Well, Howard Stern, you think he might?
He may have 20 years ago.
Yeah, but not now, right?
Right now, no. You don't say nice things about
it. I got to leave?
Get him out.
Back to Gary. Yes, you have to leave because it is time now.
Crazy Bernie.
Yes, for our daily game. It's happened twice.
Bye-bye.
Beat Bernie.
Bye-bye.
You want to play the music now? Play the music, Maestro.
It's Beat Bernie.
Time to beat Bernie.
On 77 WABC.
All righty, that's how the game works. Your chance to beat Bernie. It's happened twice. We played this game now about 10, 11 times. His record is still very, very good. He's like Sandy Koufax. Five questions. Let's see if you can beat Bernie. Let's meet today's contestant from Chatham. His name is Michael. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, Sid?
I'm doing well, buddy. Thank you for playing today's game. I imagine you listen every day. You're a worldly guy. You read a lot. You're a smart guy. You feel confident you can beat Bernie today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, great. What do you do for a living, Mike?
I work in finance.
Okay. And so you'll be indicted anytime soon, right?
No,
of course not. Your wife and kids listening today?
I don't think so.
All right. Are you married with children?
I am.
Okay. All right. Well, you seem like a very mysterious person, Mike. So that may benefit you in today's game. You know how the game works. Five questions. And if you get more right than Bernie, you win a $100 gift certificate to use at the place of your choice. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right. Well, you ready to go, Mike?
I am.
All right, Mike from Chatham. Here we go, and here is question number one. The state of Mississippi will remove the Confederate flag. What is the state capital of Mississippi?
Jackson.
Bang! There you go. Mike Green. Bang. Nice start, Mike. Mike is one for one. Way to get going here, Michael. Here's question number two. Where did Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrender to Union General Grant?
Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia.
Look at you. I mean, zero hesitancy, confidence, even down to the Appomattox Courthouse. Very good. Mike off to a two-for-two start. Looks like Bernie's got a real challenge today. Are you ready for question number three?
Definitely.
Here we go, Michael, number three. This famous Lincoln speech, quote, that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth, was given where?
Gettysburg,
come on.
Pennsylvania.
Come on. You kidding me? Ken Jennings who? We got Mike from Chatham, everybody. He's now three for three. Here's question number four. Who was the first president to live in the White House?
Adams.
We need the first name because it was more
John.
Than...
You're right, John.
Look at you. Look at Mike. He is on an absolute roll, 4 for 4. Now, the lady that beat Bernie last week, the attorney, she went 5 for 5, and Bernie only got 4 out of 5. She's the latest to beat Bernard. So this, you may become just the second contestant ever, Mike, in the short history of this game to go 5 for 5. Are you ready for your final question?
Let's do it.
Here we go, Mike from Chatham. Who was the only U.S. president, the only U.S. president, to serve more than 2 terms?
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh, my
Very impressive.
Mike ate his Wheaties this morning.
Oh,
I tell you that.
My. I mean, again, no hesitancy, no let me think about it. Just that was really impressive, Mike. 5 out of 5. I thought a couple of those were actually pretty difficult. So congratulations on this really amazing effort today.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
We're going to put you on hold, Mike. You'll have a chance to listen to Bernie, see if he can beat you today. And regardless, you'll have a chance to talk to Bernie at the very end of the conversation. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, Mike from Chatham, excellent job. Mike goes 5 for 5. The pressure is on Bernie once again. He can't win today, but he can certainly tie, and he can certainly lose, too. Mike from Chatham goes 5 for 5. What will Bernie do on Beat Bernie?
It's Beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
On 77 WABC.
Well, Bernard.
Yes, Sydney.
You can't win today. But you can tie. Our contestant, Mike from Chatham, goes 5 for 5. When I tell you, zero hesitancy, answered every question as if he had the answers right in front of him. A very impressive effort by Mike from Chatham. So once again, the pressure is on you just to get them all right, just to tie.
Or as Matt Meany calls him, Uncle Mike from Chatham.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It was very impressive, so... my money's on you to tie him. How
let's
that?
Go.
All right.
I appreciate the confidence.
All right, Bernard, here we go. Mike is on hold, of course, listening intently. $100 gift certificate on the line if, in fact, Bernie gets one of these wrong. Here we go, Bernie. Number one. Mississippi will remove the Confederate flag. What is the state capital of Mississippi?
That would be another problem for Mississippi. It ain't... Well, let's put it this way. It's Jackson.
Yes.
And, of course, named after...
Reggie Jackson.
Exactly. That's a big problem. He's the biggest lowlife creep.
He's a creep. All right, 1 for 1, Bernard. Here we go. Where did Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrender to Union General Grant?
That would be Appomattox.
What state?
Virginia.
Very good. The courthouse in Virginia, Bernard, 2 for 2.
By the way, his home state.
That's right. They're going to go 5 for 5 in time. Mike from Chatham. Here's Bernard's question number 3. Here we go, Bernard. This famous Lincoln speech, quote, "The government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish," was given where?
In the state of Pennsylvania.
I want the city.
Oh, you want the city?
I do, Bernard, yes.
I think it would be called... Estelle Gettysburg.
Very good. All righty. Mike from Chatham, 5 for 5. Bernard so far, as predicted, 3 for 3. Here's question number 4. Bernie, who was the first president to live in the White House?
Ah, the first president.
Not Donald Trump.
Let's see. It wasn't George Washington.
No.
Matter of fact, it was the second president. It was his vice president, and his name was... He was married to Morticia, John Adams.
Bang. All right, Bern. As I predicted, I thought you'd go 5 for 5, and you're well on your way there. 80% of the way there, to be exact. You've gotten the first 4 correct. Here's your 5th and final question in an effort to tie Mike. Now, we spoke to Dave Labrosi. If... both the contestant and Bernard go 5 for 5. Does the contestant win a gift or not?
Not the gift card. You will get a bag of swagger from the WABC, you know, promotions closet. So
wow, a swag bag.
That is
swag
lame.
Bag.
Man, that is lame.
You get a defund celeb T-shirt.
I got 2 of those left, actually. If you want one,
there we go. That's
actually a good prize.
And you get some DNA from Curtis's old beret.
Yeah. All right, folks. Here we go, Bernie. Here we go. who was the only U.S. president to serve more than two terms.
Well, let's see. It wasn't Millard Fillmore.
Nope.
The only U.S. president. It wasn't Gerald Ford.
No.
Actually, he never was elected even in the first place.
No, Richard Nixon had to quit for him to get the job.
Right, and then he lost to Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, that's right. And he got shot by Squeaky Foam along the way. Charles Manson follower.
I guess I'd have to go with, I don't know, let me just pull it out of a hat. Grover Cleveland?
You're kidding, right? Did you just give this guy the win on purpose?
It wasn't Grover Cleveland?
Are you serious? You're kidding.
I'm serious.
No, it wasn't Grover Cleveland.
Who was it?
FDR.
Wrong. He served what?
He served three.
Oh, I thought you said he served twice.
Who served more than two?
Oh, wait a second. I misunderstood the question.
Okay.
More than two.
Only Grover one Cleveland. President have served more than two terms.
I know that was.
There's been a million two-term presidents.
I can tell you, FDR served four. He was elected four times. 32, 36, 40, and 44.
Okay, so then let's...
That was a mistake. You didn't phrase the question
Who was the only U.S. president to serve more than two terms? Exactly what I said. How is that not?
Okay, well, then I misconstrued the question.
Because two terms, you've got about 10 presidents. Not just quote, I mean...
Well, you just heard me lay out.
Right,
FDR,
right.
32, 36, 40, 44. Then he was shot and killed in... he died of a heart attack in March of 45, and Truman took over.
Let me go to the Rules Committee. Bernie doesn't lie. He just doesn't lie. And he laid out the years. He knew all of that.
Believe me. I knew that...
Listen, I'm going to make an executive decision. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, I guess. I'm going to give Bernie the credit. He misheard me. The question was read properly, but he misheard me, and he clearly knew the answer. Matt, are you okay with that?
Yeah, Burn gave the years, right. And I mean, he gave enough backstory.
All right, so Mike still wins a prize.
Yeah.
Let's meet today's contestant. He was really good, really impressive. Your chance to meet Bernie as both gentlemen get all five correct today. Mike from Chatham. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, say hello to Bernie McGurk.
How you doing, Mikey?
Pretty good. Love listening to you guys. Been listening for a bunch of years now.
A great job. Thank you for listening, Mike. The FDR thing, you know what he did. He went from the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. What was he talking about in that speech?
He's talking about the Great Depression.
That's correct. Well, a lot of people would say, no, it was World War II. No. It was the Great Depression. You're right about that.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to that defund shirt, though.
And you see, people love that shirt. They would take that. Do you really want one of those?
I'd love one.
Deep one. So now, what kind of guy are you? In good shape? You heavy? What's your body type?
I don't know. I'm a 6'2", about 220. I was actually out on a run when I called you guys.
So you're in good shape. So you're an XL guy. You're in very good shape, actually. Okay. I think I have one XL left. I'll make sure you get it. How about that?
That'd be great.
All right, Mike. Thank you for playing today. You were really good.
Plus, he wins the whole prize, right?
Plus, he gets the prize package.
Okay, good,
yes, you get a prize package, and we're going to throw in the Deep One celeb shirt because you were so impressive. So congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Keep it up on the radio. I'm hearing you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that, Mikey.
Very good job out of Mike, and an excellent job out of you, Bernie, going 5 for 5 again.
Yeah, sorry about the screw-up at the end. But
you got to lay off the drugs, the Ambien, all that stuff.
I tell you, it ain't easy, you know?
Lay off that somebody. I know the holiday's coming up, so you're preparing your body for 11 days.
I think that's what I need. I need a little...
More drugs?
I need more sleep.
More sleep.
You know what I'm saying? I just need.
I've gotten so much sleep since Danielle and the kids left. That's all I do is
so
go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. I'm not complaining. You're the one on drugs.
I'm not.
Oh, Chris Libertini's back. You know, it's funny. I guess companies now are allowing people to come back to work in small doses, obviously, very small doses. People that are furloughed. I know we're still waiting for Jill. And Jill sent out a very nice message yesterday to you and Bill O'Reilly, and Curtis excluded me. That's fine. But we're still waiting for people to come back to work. And then every now and then we see somebody walking around and like, hey, I know that guy. He used to be here back in February.
Yeah, it is refreshing to see people like him, Jennifer Grodd, and...
Jen's back?
Jen's back, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen her. Okay, great.
Hofstra grad.
Yeah, Jamie's here, the video girl. And
by the way, Hofstra, did we mention this? Hofstra has announced, I think they announced it on Friday, they're going to reopen in the fall, full semester, all classes at Hofstra.
Good job out of Hofstra.
Damn
University.
Good job.
Your son went to Hofstra and graduated from there.
Yes, he did. He went. He was there at the same time as Jennifer was.
And I actually got so drunk and high one time at the Club USA that I urinated in my pants before I left the club.
Alan Combs. Alan Combs graduated from Hofstra.
Oh,
well.
Did he? God rest his soul. He was a great guy.
Oh my God! Back here on the Bernie and Sid show, you just want to stomp somebody. Listen to this, right? We are heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app.
I really wanted to stomp somebody before this song came. I walk around the city all day, every day, like in and I know you're good at this too, Bernard, in fight mode, basically.
That's fight or flight.
That's it.
Yeah, but usually, well, if you can't do the flight thing, you got to do the fight thing. So you're ready for both.
I'm ready for both.
Yeah, okay, good. I like that. we were talking about, believe it or not, one of the questions was Appomattox, which reminds me. That's where Robert E. Lee surrendered to General Grant. And Grant was very gracious. He let the Confederate troops leave with their horses, and I believe their rifles. He just let them go. And he said, go back to where you live, and we're going to try to work this out. And it was great. Everything would have been great if Abraham Lincoln wasn't assassinated and they didn't have this idiot Andrew Johnson take over. He was a bust-out racist, and he screwed up Reconstruction, and he brought in the era of the Jim Crow laws, all that, whatever. Anyway, the point is this. They want to tear down the Emancipation Memorial down in Washington, D.C., which depicts a President Lincoln and a slave by his side who is breaking his chains. It was paid for. We talked about it with Rich Lowry this morning. I talked about it last week. It was paid for by the wages of freed slaves. None other than Frederick Douglass gave the dedication speech at the statue's unveiling, et cetera, et cetera. And I said last week, it's actually an accurate depiction. I mentioned that the Abraham Lincoln, after the city of Richmond was liberated, he went right down there, and the war was still raging. This is about a month or two before, maybe a month before the surrender at Appomattox. He went right down to the city of Richmond, and with his son, and he walked through the streets of Richmond before he went to the presidential headquarters there, Jefferson Davis's headquarters. He sat in his seat, but anyway, before he went, the slaves ran up to him like he was God, and they kneeled down by his feet, among other things. And he said, "Listen, no, that's I'm not God, and you're freed slaves now. You don't have to do this." But so none other than a guy named Jay Winnick. He was on the Brian Kilmeade show on Friday, and he wrote the book 1865, The Month That Saved America. This is Jay Winnick, as I pat myself on the back. This is Jay Winnick telling the story to Brian Kilmeade.
When I think of what happened with this Lincoln statue, that statue reminds me of a scene from Richmond in 1865 when Richmond, the Confederate capital, had just fallen, and Abraham Lincoln wanted to see it and see it with his own eyes, and what would happen would be one of the most profound scenes ever in American history. Lincoln would step onto American soil, now freed, and then all of a sudden he was mobbed by a sea of faces, and these were former slaves who were now free, and they were shouting, "Glory, glory to God, glory, glory," and then Lincoln looked at them and he said, "You are free. You are free as air." And one woman shouted back, she said, "I know I am free, for I've seen Father Abraham." And another slave, former slave, threw himself at Lincoln's feet, and Lincoln wagged a stern finger at him, and he said, "From now on, you don't kneel to me. You kneel only to your God. You kneel only to your Creator." Now, it's really hard to imagine a more powerful and poignant scene than that. And in all the politics today, we're losing the complexity and richness of history, and that's a shame.
There you go. So, listen, in addition to patting myself on the back, I just wanted to make the point as well. Bill O'Reilly said it last week. He said, "I kneel for only God." And he's got a movement. Go to BillO'Reilly.com. I stand with America. But it was Terrence Monaghan, a New York chief of police, who actually...
Chief of detectives. Right, because Tomas Shays were the chief of police, I would guess.
He's the commissioner.
Right.
So, whatever. He's like the number two guy.
Yep.
And he knelt. He knelt on the day of the worst riots. That night they had the worst riots. Played Terrence Monaghan, too. And this is what he said about the animosity towards police. He was on with our bosses on WABC Radio, Katz's Roundtable, John Katz-Matidis.
Sunday morning, yep.
Who, God willing, will be the next mayor of the city of New York. This is what Terrence Monaghan said about the animosity towards police today.
You know, the animosity towards police has just been absolutely unbelievable. And cops are, you know, a little confused right now on what the communities want them to do, how they want their neighborhoods policed. If you listen to the city council, they want less policing. They want to defund the police. But as I look out there right now, with the violence going on, it's not a good sign. And we need some clarity from the city council and from the communities we serve exactly how they want to be policed.
So great job on the Cats Roundtable, heard every Sunday morning here on WABC. But I will say this, the retirements are up 49% in the NYPD. And one detective who's retiring, he's been there for 20 years. He actually wrote in the New York Post a long reason why people are retiring, why the NYPD is suffering the way they're suffering. But he also said this, and this goes to Terrence Monaghan kneeling with the protesters. He says, I think the kneeling was the white flag. The kneeling eliminated what little hope the cops had. I think the kneeling sacrificed the cops. What little expectation of authority the cops felt they had, they lost it right there. And that was Terrence Monaghan. And there was another cop who actually took a knee, and then he wrote a letter of apology. They printed it as an op-ed in the New York Post. So the disrespect still continues. You had the Queer Lives Movement and the Black Lives Matter. That incident down last night, and then on Saturday night, the face-off between the protesters, well, they were actually called for a shooting, and then the cops were pelted with bottles and rocks. The neighborhood was left a mess. They responded to some poor, scared residents in Harlem, probably black, right? You would imagine. Yeah, they went there at the report of shots fired, and this is the thanks that they got. So they left without doing anything. So imagine the poor people who called the cops. They must really be frightened now, but that happened then, and certainly if you get a guy like Joe Biden in there, you're going to have a lot more of this. You're going to have the inmates will be running the asylum because he's an empty vessel. He's a puppet. He does nothing. He says nothing about these. He says nothing about anything except wear a mask. That's the only thing he said about any of the recent developments in the past month, of which there have been many since George Floyd, he said, yeah, it shouldn't happen. Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for that, brilliant Biden. Anyway, Sleepy Joe said this about the masks, but listen to how he said it.
You would, in effect, mandate the wearing of masks.
I would do everything in my possible to make it required that people had to wear masks in public.
I would do everything in my possible.
He can't talk.
So you think that he's going to, he's going to initiate any, he's going to take a strong stand on anything? He's going to totally capitulate to these crazies.
I've said it a million times, and I'm going to stand by this. It doesn't matter if it's Joe Biden, if it was Bernie Sanders. At this point, the election comes down to one person. You're either voting with him or against him. Doesn't matter what Joe Biden, he can't even complete a sentence. He has no backbone. It doesn't matter. If you don't like Donald Trump, you're going to vote against Donald Trump, and it doesn't matter who the opponent is. So discrediting Joe Biden doesn't matter. Because if you don't like Donald Trump, you're going to vote for Joe Biden. That's the bottom line. So you're either going to vote for Donald Trump or you're going to vote against Donald Trump.
Listen, this is a game changer. This anarchy, this chaos, this disorder. These minority neighborhoods where the businesses, minority businesses, this could be a game changer. Wow. This could be a wake-up call. Just like when Giuliani was elected after Dinkins' reign. Not only Dinkins, it was Lindsay, it was Abraham Beam, it was David Dinkins. And after years of that liberal craziness and crime spiking like mad, they elected Rudy Giuliani.
But we don't have that now. Trump's been the guy in power for 3.5 years. Trump's the guy that they don't like. Not David Dinkins, where they didn't like him, so they were.
I know,
looking to get a new guy in.
I understand he's the incumbent, but
right.
But the point is, he is definitely the law and order guy. He's not going to cater and coddle and pander to these people, which Biden will. And nobody wants that. But we don't want looting in the streets. We don't want mobs, occupying parks and blocks in cities. Nobody wants that.
We don't want that. I'd be careful saying nobody wants that because obviously lots of people want that.
I made an absolute statement. Right.
Don't want that.
Most rational-minded people in the inner city.
How do you even know most?
I hope that's the case.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense. Doesn't everybody want safety and security?
I don't know, Byrne.
You don't know?
I really don't know. I you would think so, right? Rationally, it makes sense. But I'm telling you, man,
by the way,
I don't remember the world ever being this crazy. I don't. I wasn't around in 68. I was one. All right. And I was around for Dinkins and Giuliani, and they hated Dinkins and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't like this. I don't remember this country being this crazy. I don't remember in my lifetime.
1-800-848-9222. Also, there's talk about the president replacing Mike Pence.
Yeah, why?
With either Tim Scott or Nikki Haley or even Congresswoman Elise Stefanik here from New York. Why?
I heard that. Is that because it helps him win?
It would be an identity card.
Right,
play.
Okay, got it.
Now, in light of what happened over the past month, maybe Tim Scott might be, if you really want the office and the country's future depends on it, and it would help the president. Is it something he should do? 1-800-848-9222. It would look like he was being disloyal.
Correct.
And he was playing identity politics.
And it would kind of say Mike Pence didn't do a good job, which I think Mike Pence did do a good job. Now, be careful with Tim Scott, because Tim Scott is only 24 hours removed from being very critical of President Trump on CNN.
But Tim Scott would be a strong choice. He's a staunch Trump supporter, even though he said about the tweet. We know the tweet was a mistake, and they deleted the tweet.
But you know how this goes with Trump.
Fake news is obsessing over it.
But Trump and him could end up in a battle here.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
No, they get along very, very well. Ann is in New Jersey. Good morning, Ann.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Ann.
You guys, let me tell you something. I'm so mad right now, and that's why I listen to you guys. You really, really help me with my anger, because the left, what the left is doing to this country, I'm livid. But I wanted to talk about the Rolling Stones. Once again, President Trump is under attack, this time by a raggedy, wrinkly old ass. That, by the way, I'm not even crazy about his music. I was born in 61, and I think the only good Rolling Stones music is the 60s Rolling Stones music. Now, anyway, my point, he's a robot. He's a robot for the left, obviously, because he didn't have a problem with this since 2016.
I was wondering what took so long, yes.
Trump has been playing his music for that long, so here's the problem. They're all in bed together. They're all signaling each other, and he, Mick Jagger, has just become the 5,000th robot for the left.
Yeah, no, he's just, I hope he falls off the stage next performance he gives. Connie is, thank you, Ann, very much. Connie is in Westport, Connecticut. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning. Say, listen, I think Tim Scott would be an awesome vice president. I do believe that Pence might agree, but he has to publicly condone and bless the change, and then it will be okay.
You know, that's a great point, Connie, because, and stay there, I won't cut you off, but, Mike Pence might be like the rumors somebody was saying about Trump. He's fed up. Who said that? Oh, Charlie Gasparini.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Gasparini.
Pence might be like, I just want to get the hell out of here. But either way, you're right.
Two old white guys maybe not be the best thing. But listen, about the voting, you guys, the fraud, I have a great idea. We must use our Social Security numbers and call in our vote. No fraud, no duplications. If you don't have one, you don't vote.
Well, but calling in, I mean, that's another...
That's also fraught with peril.
Yeah, that could be a lot of voter fraud. Because, hey, yeah, this is Barney from Queens, and I just want to cast my vote for... My Social Security is 001-652-1293. Okay, you got that? Good. And then I'd be like, yeah, man, my name is Daryl, all right? Yeah, I want to vote. My Social Security number is 999-452-6314. You got that?
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
That was a great show today, folks. We hope you enjoyed it. Rich Lowry, the great game today, beat Bernie. Mike and Bernie both going 5 for 5. We gave you all the weekend news that you needed. And we still have 3 more great shows coming your way before we go on vacation on Friday. At the very least, Bo Deedle will be here tomorrow. He's always tremendous on a Tuesday. Sunny, nice day on a Monday afternoon here in New York City. Go
Come
out
on.
And enjoy it, right? Go soak it up and enjoy
it. Yeah.
Why not? We're done for today. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. from all of us here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Bernie, Sid, Matt, Ariel, Jilly at home. Have yourselves a wonderful and safe Monday. Until tomorrow.
Peace!